This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by DVC Resale Market. DVC Resale Market has become the leader in the DVC resale industry. They have sold over $400 million in DVC Vacation Club and have over 100 years of combined direct DVC experience. If you're looking to buy or sell, DVC Resale Market wants to put their knowledge and world-class service to work for you. Contact our friend Nick Cotton over at DVC Resale Market at www.dvcresalemarket.com.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 428 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome back to the show. On this week's show, we're going to take a little bit of an Imagineering deep dive into Dinoland in the Animal Kingdom.
Good heavens, a whole new species of theme park.
Now being created and soon to be discovered by you and all the people of the world, the latest addition to the Walt Disney World Resort, Disney's Animal Kingdom. A discovery like this calls for a closer examination. On over 500 acres, Disney Imagineers and renowned animal experts are literally going wild, combining the magic and fun of a Disney theme park with the drama and majesty of the animal world to build the most innovative and imaginative experience we've ever created.
I'm Joe Rohde. I'm the executive designer of Disney's Animal Kingdom. Disney's Animal Kingdom is a park about our love of animals, not just the live wild animals that we all know and love, but prehistoric creatures from times long past and animals out of realms of our own imagination.
You'll travel into the distant past to come face to face with creatures that roamed the Earth millions of years ago. Just a bone's throw away is Dinoland, USA. There, through the Olden Gate Bridge, an archway formed by the 40-foot-tall skeleton of a Brachiosaurus, Dinoland, USA is a place where the fascination with these creatures we all had when we were kids comes out in us again.
We're here in Dinoland. It's being built all around us even as we speak. Dinoland is comprised of the Boneyard, which is an excavation playground area where I am. It goes off behind me quite a ways. And then the rest of the land, which leads up to the big dinosaur thrill ride, Countdown to Extinction, which is out there.
To help me out with that tonight, we have Melissa. Hey, Melissa, how's it going?
Roar, I'm ready to talk about dinosaurs today.
That's the attitude. We're going to kind of do a little bit of a look at Dinoland and where it came from and where it's going. There's a lot going on in that right now. We're waiting for the announcement for a new attraction. And before that happens, we figured we want to get this type of show in there and see if we can kind of maybe pre-guess or maybe even give them some ideas. You never know.
Yeah, I think that anyone's guess of what could go in here or what other changes we might see coming in, going into this area.
Okay, so now Animal Kingdom opened in 1998. And when it opened, it did open with Dinoland attractions. And as we were looking back, Dinoland actually was pretty lucky in that it got a big share of things in it. I think Asia only had one item. Africa only had a safari. So Dinoland made out well. Do you remember what they opened up with?
In terms of Animal Kingdom opening up, it did seem very dino heavy because you had a Dino Land area, plus you had Mickey and Minnie's like the dig area towards the front of the park where Avatar is now. And so, Joe Rohde's idea was past, present, and kind of mystical animals. And so this heavy footprint of dinosaurs was a really interesting choice, I think, early on and, when the park opened. And now we've seen it kind of progress into a little bit smaller area for the dinosaurs, and Africa and Asia have blossomed. And now you get a little bit more of that mystical with Avatar. So it's an interesting progression.
Oh, no doubt. And you're right. For a time, it seemed like Dino Land was the mystical land, since we never really got one. And the things they kept putting over there were pretty extravagant. So now in 1998, they opened up with a couple different attractions in Dino Land that were pretty cool and are still there today. One or two aren't. They opened up with the Boneyard. Which we remember as the playground we had to take our kids through. You're pretty much going through that now, though, right?
We actually have not gone through this yet. It seemed a little overwhelming to try to walk through, but I have definitely seen it on the outside. I have not actually been through that area, but it looks a lot of fun.
Oh, it definitely is. So for those that don't know, as you're walking into Dino Land from, I guess you're walking in from the Discovery Island?
Yeah, you're on Discovery Island, and then you're walking through the bridge, and you'll see that right on your left-hand side.
And you walk under the Brontosaurus, which is really, really cool, and that gets your attention. And then you go into the Boneyard, which is a big, big, like, playground, sand lot, dig. They have a lot of, like, permanent dinosaurs in the ground. There is some sand down there, and there's a lot of climbing things to do, too. Think Chuck E. Cheese. But huger, bigger, and outdoors.
Yeah, I always get an adventure park feeling, but for kids, not the zip line per se, but just those kind of trust courses where you've got some bridges and some areas to climb through and climb up and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yep, a lot of nets, a lot of scaffolding. It does look like an active dig, so very, very cool, very well done. The kids loved it, and they had to stop there, so, definitely the first start.
This is the Digger, Digosaurus erectus. And in case you just crawled out from under a rock, you've got your ears wrapped around Radio Free Dino Land. We have stolen the airwaves just for you on WDINO. Can you dig it? The best rock since the dawn of time. You are here with me, the Digger, and Bonehead.
Right, why study when you can take over the airwaves?
Good point, Bonehead. Ooh. Now tell our listeners the name of the show.
The show.
What's the name of our new show?
I asked you first.
Obviously, it's a Bonehead day, and you're all listening to Radio Free Dino Land's All Day Zoo.
Oh, that name. Well, why didn't you say so?
I have to say that during one of our meetups, which is a plug for definitely coming to a meetup, we were actually in Animal Kingdom, and we spent a lot of time in Dino Land with our scavenger hunt. And I learned to appreciate Dino Land that much more by doing that scavenger hunt, and particularly the Boneyard. Sorry, I'm trying to think of the name of it. Sure. Particularly in the Boneyard. Just this storyline between is it Chuck and Cheese, right? Or
Chester and Hester?
Chester and Hester, yeah. Chester and Hester, and like the story and the boards through there. There's a lot of attention to detail that I think you can easily miss when you're just with your kid and they're like, I need to go in here. So slow down and read some of that the next time you're in the park.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Now, across from the Boneyard, they have this big bulletin board, and I want to say the same thing about that. You have to read the advertisements because there's everything up there from people needing to rent out a room to getting laundry done to actual discoveries on the dig itself. It's a very, very cool situation. So now, after the Boneyard, you come into the Fossil Preparation Center, which I can't remember ever being inside. And I got to think it was the area as you came in to the right, which now is the, what's the Scouts the meetup areas they have in Animal Kingdom for the scouts from up.
Wilderness Explorers.
Which I believe they have one of those booths in there. I want to almost say they have a DVC in there too. And I got to think they also have a fossil-like exploration tent or a little room too. And that maybe was that. Maybe that was the prep center.
Yeah, it looks like, I recall the three little booths. So yeah, it might be the like a Chase Visa DVC kind of thing, some sort of Wilderness Explorer, and then a learning activity in there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Along with that, we had the Jungle Book show, which was up in the Nemo stage area, the studio they have up there, which is really cool. And when you look at the map, it is very misleading. We were looking at a map earlier before we did the show, and up by that theater, there is no wraparound going around to Asia anymore where Everest would be. We're 1998. Nothing's there at all. Dinoland was a dead end. I never even thought that, and it never was a problem, I guess, if I don't remember it being that way.
Many strange legends are told in these jungles in India, but none as strange as the story of a young boy named Mowgli. All began when the silence of the jungle was broken by an unfamiliar sound. It was a sound like one never heard before in this part of the jungle. It was a man. Had I known how deeply I was to be involved, I would have obeyed my first impulse and walked away. Man cub would have to have nourishment, and soon, without a mother's care, he would soon perish. Then it occurred to me in the jungle.
I sure do.
That's good.
I don't keep living. Wanna be a man, man? Wow, that's me. Can fix it for you.
Yes, sir. I'll do anything to see the jungle ahead.
I was going to say, I mean, that becomes such a traffic jam in that area when the show releases, that then to have a dead end. I wonder what that park was like in that 98, 99 time period before that bridge into Asia opened up.
Right. Yeah. Now, something else they had there was the Countdown to Extinction, which we all know today as Dinosaur. And that opened up with the park, and that was pretty cool. And that was a major attraction for this park at this time. I think it was between the safari and dinosaur when the park opened, was when you made your decision. Do I want to go to the dinosaur or do I want to go to the safari? So our decision usually ended up taking us to safari because we had the smaller kids, you know, in the early 2000s with Animal Kingdom. However, today, if that was the choice, we would always go to Dinosaur first.
In this dramatic thrill ride, your time travel vehicle will journey back 65 million years and put you in the middle of a time when dinosaurs were ferociously alive. The Earth was theirs to rule, but the Earth is about to undergo a cataclysmic change. Will you be able to save a dinosaur from extinction and return with it to the present?
You can definitely tell that when the park opened, that was the thrill ride. And it's has a height restriction on it. You're jostled all over the place. You had animatronics coming at you. You have kind of lasers and smoke and sound and everything. So it makes sense that that was the main attraction. Whereas the safari was a little bit more that family friendly, but also you were bounced around and you didn't get to experience that kind of thing, that open air ride. But yeah, I think that as technology has gotten better, it's dinosaur is hard to compete with, say, Avatar or to some extent Yeti. So it's not my favorite ride. It's a little scary for me, but I respect the ride. How about that?
Okay, no, that's great. And Dinosaur was a shared ride system, and we've heard this in the past, where they share the ride system with the Indiana Jones out in Disneyland, which they do in a little different way in that it's a much wider opener type of attraction. As far as Dinosaur goes, it's very dark. So you really are on your track as you're going through the jungle. And the two different storylines, very similar. We tried to find a difference by watching the original and then watching the newer Dinosaur with the Iguanodon added and the name change. And it's not that much different. So I think they had that in mind when they put that together originally in 1998.
Yeah, we were talking a little before the show that is it possible that the, you know, the Parks group knew that there was this movie on the horizon that was being worked on in the studio, and let's, you know, frame a ride system that will work. Or perhaps it was the other way around, where they were, you know, producing this dino area with this main attraction and pitching that idea to the studio, and then the studio coming up with a really good story. And once it was successful, why not bring in the film to tie that in? So it was a win no matter which way it went.
Oh, yeah. Definitely was. And the attraction itself, I think, was really cool in that they have a really great backstory in that in the 40s, they discovered the dinosaur fossils in this area, and they set up the Dinosaur Institute, or the Dino Institute. And over the years, Chester and Hester had their gas station out down the road or wherever. And they now, and this is in our time frame, 2 years later, so in 2002, I guess that's 4 years down the road, opened up their amusement park. And that's in the, they used the parking lot outside their gas station, quote unquote gas station, which is the souvenir shop, and opened up their amusement park out there. So that was a little bit of a change. But before we get there, the big change happened in 2000, where Dinosaur, or Countdown to Extinction, became Dinosaur, which was kind of a small thing. And then we moved on in 2002. And that's when we had the big change.
Hi, everyone. This is Hester. For your safety, please stay seated with your seatbelt fastened nice and tight while you ride. Be sure to watch your children, and please keep your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside your dinosaur. Riders in the front row can use their lever to tilt the dinosaur forward or backward. Riders in the back row can use their lever to fly higher or lower. Have a fun spin. Looks like our little dinosaurs are landing, so please stay seated. When they come to a complete stop, make sure you have all your belongings and then walk to the exit gate. Bye-bye.
So in 2002, they had the big change where Chester and Hester, like we said, had the amusement park, where they made a lot of different changes. We had some new rides added. We had some new amusement games added. And we had a little change to the restaurant. Now, the restaurant had started out as Restaurantsaurus, I believe, in the beginning. Then it became Donald's Restaurantsaurus. And then I think it switched back to the Restaurantsaurus again.
Yep, it's still the Restaurantsaurus.
Yep. And we had proprietors change, meaning it began with McDonald's. And I thought that was a really cool choice at the time. And now I think it's just the standard Disney restaurant. Which has a good menu. It's a nice place, really, really big restaurant. Really hard to believe how big it is from the front that it gives you there, but there's many, many rooms inside there.
There's actually a lot of food options in this one area. You think about, you know, all of Hollywood Studios, they're really spread out. You know, different places don't have a sit-down option or even like a full food service option. But for Dinoland, they get Dino Bite snacks, they get Restaurantosaurus, and then as just before you're coming into Dinoland, you get Trilobites, which Trilobites has on occasion, their menu seems to change a lot, but one of my favorite snacks ever they had there, it was a waffle that was wrapped around a spicy fresh piece of chicken with like this spicy slaw on it. It was just for the price and like that it was like this kind of food stand. You just went up and grabbed it. It was super good. And then they have the Dinoland cart. So that's your like, you know, little snacks and stuff like that. But mm-hmm. You think about this area and how much food is in this one area. It's pretty amazing.
Oh, sure. Think about if you go under the Brontosaurus out there on the right, you have the Flame Tree Barbecue too, which is like, you know, not that far at all to have such a really good choice restaurants. The Restaurantsaurus with the McDonald's fare was good in that we would get to the point where we had restaurant food at the parks, and McDonald's was almost a break at that point with the kids because it was almost a normal meal. And everybody knew what they wanted. They sat down and we went right to it.
We're in pursuit of a creature commonly called Josh. His recent wild behavior suggests excitement over Disney's Animal Kingdom theme park.
And with a McDonald's Happy Meal, your kids can collect 12 cool creatures, celebrating Disney's most adventurous theme park ever. One wild toy in every $1.99 hamburger Happy Meal you buy your kids.
Ah, the feeding habits of young Josh. I'm sure he won't mind if I sample.
Ah! Did somebody say McDonald's?
Yeah, I've had like a catered meal there. It's often a place where you can have an event. It's kind of a weird place, but we were listening to a speaker and we had a catered kind of breakfast there. And it was good, you know, just kind of classic Disney park food. You can get your hot dogs, cheeseburgers, and chili. Consistent, I would say.
Oh, yeah. Yep. And they went through a phase of having a character meal there at the Restaurant Source. I think it was the Breakfastosaurus for the character meetup, if I'm not 100% sure on that one.
Yeah, that's a great place for it. It is deceivingly large and spacious. So I think it's a nice place if you want to cool off in the summer, because Animal Kingdom can get kind of hot and muggy, and off the beaten path, be able to go in, get some good food and just kind of relax and have some space.
Yeah, very much so. Walking around Dinoland, there is one other attraction which I can remember being there for the longest time, but I can't guarantee it was there in 98, but that's the Crocodile Pit. They have that one little area where they have a crocodile that's been in there forever, it seems like. Kind of, you come in, the Boneyard's on your left. If you take the trail to the right, you pass those little buildings on your right where we thought they might have the scouts and the fossils, but on the left there, right in that little island area, they had that big alligator.
Yes. Yep. That is still there, right across from the Restaurantosaurus. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And it's always, you hear the question, is it real? Is that real? or is it a animatronic? But it's very real.
There are plenty of alligators in the Florida area for them to keep it stocked.
So anyway, Dinoland was kind of like the beginning park opener. And it was the place to go other than a safari. And we said that. We always liked Dinoland. But they realized, I guess, early on that it's going to need something else. It's going to need a little bit more kick to get the little kids in there to do something else, because Dinosaur was, like Melissa mentioned, too wild for a lot of people. And they did that, but they might have gone too far back, because what we got were some carnival rides. They brought in 2002 the Triceratops Spin and the Primeval World. And they put them right into the area across from Hester and Chester's, which was, quote unquote, the parking lot. And they have that big brontosaurus that they have in there now, the Cementosaurus, which really was a cool thing. And I think that thing should always stay there.
Hey, spinners, it's Chester here, reminding you for your safety to stay seated with that seatbelt fastened good and tight as you spin. Whilst you're spinning, keep your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside, and be sure to watch your children. Riders in the front row can use their lever to tilt forward or backward. Riders in the back row can use their lever to fly higher or lower. Ready? Then let's go for a spin! Whoa, boy! How was that for a spin? Now, please stay seated until your Triceratops comes to a complete stop. Then, make sure you have all your belongings and walk to the exit gate.
But when they first brought this in there, we had to hit the rides because the kids want to do everything new. And we did try it out. The games, not so much. We live on the Jersey, near the Jersey Shore, so we get the games all the time. We go to the carnivals, we go down to the beach. That didn't seem like a big of a draw, and the kids never begged to do it, so we never did a lot of that.
Yeah, it reminds me of Universal in that sense. When you're walking into Universal and they have some of those carnival games, and you know, it's like extra and kind of people kind of calling out to you. It, you know, I think it's a that little competition sometimes that Disney and Universal have, thinking, oh, maybe this is a good thing. It's tried and tested. We never participated either. Triceratops Spin is your Dumbo kind of ride. Mm-hmm. So, but just in the, one circular, good kid ride while, you know, maybe the bigger kids are on Dinosaur. But my passion and love is for what was it called?
The Primeval World?
Primeval World, yeah. My love is for Primeval World. That was one of my favorite rides that was at Animal Kingdom next to Yeti. It was just so much fun. It was simple, right? Like you went up this ramp and you got split onto either side. The line moved really quickly and you just kind of got spun and jostled around, and it was smoother and more thrilling than your typical carnival ride, like at the county fair. Mm-hmm. Felt a little safer maybe, but it was still kind of just all over the place. Your body was just going and you never knew. And I love that you were usually mixed with other people. And I have really fond memories of being paired with some other, young preteens who got to ride it on their own. And, your kind of groups are together, and them being on a ride by themselves and just seeing them laughing and, us laughing. It's just, I think everyone just has a fun time. And I know it's not everyone's favorite ride because it is very jerky, but I was sad to see that ride go, honestly.
Yeah, that was kind of an odd situation where I'm surprised that one went and Triceratops didn't, and the whole area stayed. So, and we'll discuss this in a little bit, but that was kind of one of the questions about why that one went. Now, you know the story behind the Primeval World, what that represents?
I can't recall the details. I know that the story is that you're going back in time because the clock is spinning.
You're going to love this. The Primeval World is the outside version of Dinosaur.
Yes, that's what it is.
Right? You compare it part by part, and you can see that it follows the storyline from the attraction Dinosaur, where you do go back in time. And now you're dodging the dinosaurs and you're dodging the asteroids, the meteors, until the big one finally comes and you're spinning around and then you come back to the present. So I always thought, and I liked the ride itself, but once I found out that little kick of it, I was like, wow, I'm totally in. That was like a great idea what they came up with.
Yeah, that is a fun story. Yes, I'm sad that it's gone, but I can just only hope that something bigger and better and greater will be put there.
So now we were talking about or figuring out why it decided to go. And the first thing I came up with was maybe because of the machinery, and maybe they couldn't repair something that broke. That seems to be an issue with Disney a lot, where they have their attractions that might not be replaced anywhere else or be put up anywhere else, and the parts are pretty rare.
That's the same theory that I've heard, that the ride manufacturer they weren't making these parts anymore. And they basically were trying to piece in part from old salvage yards, from other attractions that had been out there, and they're pretty much gone. Not the greatest idea. And just was time to retire this at that time. So, mm-hmm. Yep, heard a similar version of that, and makes sense. It's sad, but.
Oh, sure. Now, it could have been just outright injury rate that we might not have known about. We might have been something in that regards. Perhaps Disney was dealing with that.
I think another possibility is that the line was typically short, and to have two of those going at one time, it is a decent size footprint, and you needed a number of cast members to run it because you walked up those ramps and then you were split and then you kept going and then you had another cast member putting you in line, and then you had another cast member putting you into your harnesses. So, right, you're up to probably five people just to run it, and then the engineers needing to maintain it on a daily basis. It's kind of a lot for a ride that wasn't producing a lot of guests.
Right. Now, the spot of land or the footprint that it had is not that large. And if you're familiar with the Wild Mouse type roller coasters, it's almost a similar situation where you have a roller coaster that does a lot of turns and turn backs and flips around so that it stays in that small area. that makes it difficult to replace it with something else, though. Because when you see Google Earth, you can see, or some overhead pictures that people have taken already, you can see where the land is kind of cut out. I think Sam was just down there recently. They still have the blue wall in front of it. I would have thought if they were removing it, they would have already had a plan of what they were going to put into it. COVID maybe be part of that, because it did happen over the last year, 2 years. And so we're going to see. However, I think we have a couple ideas of what might go in there. So what do you think?
Yeah, I have my wish list, and then I have what I think we might see. That makes sense. Do you want to go first, Deb?
Oh, no, go for it.
All right. I would love to see, you know, kind of take out the carnival attraction. So now you get that whole extra space, and then you have the back lot between Finding Nemo, the musical, and where Triceratops Spin used to be. And I would love to see like a void type attraction, right? So you get to walk in, you put on your VR goggles, and you can go in and like experience seeing dinosaurs, touching dinosaurs, walking through their habitat, because that is another kind of mouse maze. You can switch back in and out. And if you think about the void in Disney Springs, that wasn't a huge footprint either. Mm-hmm. But you're able to put through a lot of guests and have a really amazing experience. I would love to be able to see that and let, you know, your kids kind of be able to experience what it's like. And I think that it's, they need to set themselves apart, because just down the street, Universal has released their Jurassic Park area, and they have the Velocicoaster, and only heard amazing things about that. And they've got, you know, other Jurassic Park type rides, and it character interactions. I use that kind of in quotes. So, you've got to set yourself apart when you've got your own dino area, and there's something similar.
Mm-hmm. Yep, definitely. So now I like the idea of actually clearing out the carnival games and making a lot of space in there. And so if we're going to do that, my first idea was to come up with something similar to, and I know when they have a ride system that works, they kind of like to try to take advantage of it, but give me something that's like the Ratatouille ride system, but give it to me in something of another form, where we have something that might take advantage of some of the new properties that Disney has now bought. They own the Ice Age series of movies now, and that whole property. Maybe something with that. Something with the, and this is kind of funnier, and this would be definitely tongue-in-cheek, but they have that TV sitcom from the 90s, Dinosaurs, where they have this the family of dinosaurs way back. It's kind of like the Flintstones or something like using that type of storyline. I think that could be very humorous, where you're going through their world as maybe a mammal. One of those little mice in that series was always trying to get taken advantage of and always getting out. So something like that, I think, might be an idea.
As long as you have the baby dinosaur saying, not the mama, at some point.
Not the mama. Very, very cool.
Yeah, that would be great to bring in those other IPs. Yeah, you forget about a lot of the Fox properties like Land Before Time. Ice mm-hmm. Age is another one. And I think we've seen some Ice Age recently. Didn't Sam post a picture of like a sand sculpture with some Ice Age
I think so.
Characters? Mm-hmm. And they were promoting their new series on Disney Plus. So that's very plausible that we see something with Ice Age. It should be a nice tie-in for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I think that another, you know, type of family type ride that maybe ties into your Ratatouille type ride system is, again, being able to explore through some sort of wilderness area where there are, you know, dinosaurs lurking, but it's more, it's like a family friendly version of Dinosaur. So the whole family can get on, maybe spin around a couple times because something jumps out at you, but it's still fairly friendly. I think that's really hard in that space because you can't be outside in Florida. It rains every day. So you need covered space. Maybe it's a walking area. You know, maybe now I'm thinking it kind of out loud. Maybe it's like the whole Moana thing in Epcot where it's this path like you have in Africa and Asia where you kind of walk through and you come upon these dinosaurs, and they are very lifelike looking, and they're animatronics that, you know, move and, you know, can kind of interact and stuff.
And actually, if you tied it in, because when you leave Dinosaur, the attraction Dinosaur, you walk out and you kind of go in that little area where people are sitting down. And they used to have those McDonald's signs with the dinosaurs on them and the different types of food you can buy. Well, that leads you down to Chester and Hester's behind there. So you can almost kind of like scoot to the right, come around, and you'd be in the Primeval World area and kind of make it one big walking experience. Yeah, it's possible. Very cool. Okay, so now we were thinking back as far as the small area goes, and I was thinking maybe we need something in there to give us a little bit more science kick to the dinosaur realm. So let's put a circle vision in there. Let's do something kind of like Canada or something like China over at Epcot, but let's tour some of the great fossil areas of Earth, of the United States, of, you know, wherever we're finding some of these great fossils. I can imagine some awesome places, definitely down in South America, Patagonia, United States, Midwest, Far West, Europe. There's plenty of places to kind of hit. And you'd kind of get maybe the kids into the experience of going around the world doing this down, you know, for a job down the road, maybe.
Yeah, I love that idea. Again, it's, you know, open to all ages and being able to go into that space and learn a little bit while also having, you know, some IPs to take you along in that journey.
Oh, yeah. Very cool. Very cool. And plus, everything we're talking about, you could always throw that plus of having your magic bands and somehow making something extra with the magic bands, depending on technology as they kind of prove it.
Yeah, for sure. I would love some that science base. You know, a lot of the STEM activities that revolve around dinosaurs. I feel like every kid goes through a stage of loving dinosaurs and, you know, it's like, hi, my name is, and what's your favorite dinosaur kind of thing. Right. And so having those kind of hands-on activities, I know it's hard with, you know, COVID and everything, but as we come out of that, being able to let those kids go in and do activities with that, with the, you know, I don't know, dig, you know, we do have the dig area, but putting bones back together like a puzzle, or, you know, learning what do they eat, you know, this kind of thing, like some of those STEM activities. I feel like there's a lot with dinosaurs, and that would be a well-received area for kids that they can interact, but learn something. Mm-hmm. And that seems to embody Animal Kingdom.
Oh, yeah, very much. And actually, we're saying that I came up with a quick upgrade for the Boneyard. And it was funny because I kind of passed over that in our planning for this, because what can you do to improve the playground? Well, you know, what you could do is bring in some of the more technical items they're using. Remember when Jurassic Park came out, they had the ground searching radar. So they had this machine on the ground that made a big noise and they could see things. In, I want to say, the second or third Jurassic Park, they had a 3D printer that printed out the Velociraptor's whatever sound cavity, and they made noise from it. So we've got so many new tools to help us look for dinosaurs and fossils and things like that. Let's bring that in. That's really cool to see those type of things. Kind of have almost a Galaxy's Edge view to it, where you have all this technology, but the technology is real and it's being used to find dinosaurs. And then that would be phenomenal. Maybe not so far the Boneyard, but maybe where the fossil prep area was, or maybe even a big area where the Primeval World was. Make that a big observation building. You'd go in there, almost like the building at the end of the at the train at the conservation station.
Yeah, I love that idea. Yeah, it kind of goes to that STEM science learning area where, yeah, you could use the 3D printers, and I mean, you could certainly sell tickets for the experience, right? Like you do Star Wars Land, where it's like, hey, and you know, you get to pick, are you going to build this or this? And it's this thing you take home. And that's an awesome idea.
And they did do kind of a processing thing in Epcot, in the interventions, they had that plastic company where they're making the parts for the robots. So they were pressing all the parts that would be there for you, and then you went through, you picked the parts, you put your robot together. You could definitely do the same thing for dinosaurs and bones and such like that. Yeah, definitely.
This is one of the things that I would love to see again, those kind of science learning things. And you know, sometimes it's hard. People are on vacation. They don't want to necessarily learn, but you know, we're trying to find that balance. I would love to see that learning area that's talking about the impact on the environment and new creatures that are going to extinction or extinction over time. So it's not just dinosaurs, but what other animals have we lost over time because of humans' impact, weather impacts, things like that. Mm-hmm. And sharing those stories. So again, maybe it is that film or something, I'm kind of thinking of Epcot where they had the Timon and Pumbaa video on like where mm-hmm. oil came from. And even Ellen's Energy Adventure was a little bit of that kind of style and kind of putting that all together and like, this is the impact. And I think maybe a cute dodo bird of being the...
And actually, you could recycle the title and use Countdown to Extinction.
Yeah.
That attraction.
You could.
Very good. Okay. So we've come up with some great ideas. What do you guys think? Let us know. Get in touch with the show and tell us what you think is the biggest thing we could do to update Dinoland. What do you think is going to go in for Primeval World, or what can we change that's there existing? Let us know. Hey, Jimmy, tell everybody how to get in touch with the show.
You can email us at questions@thedisneynerdspodcast.com and email us individually at ed@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, jimmy@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, etc. You can send us a message on Facebook to the page, The Disney Nerds Podcast. Join our group, Disney Nerds, Instagram @thedisneynerdspodcast and Twitter @thedisneynerds. Make sure to check out the website, www.thedisneynerdspodcast.com, and watch the live stream every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Walt Disney World time.
Okay, guys. So that's it for show number 428, the deep dive Imagineering trip into Dinoland in an animal kingdom. For Melissa, this is Ed, and we're the Disney Nerds, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
TTFM. Ta-ta for now.
Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace, the haunting's free. So hurry back, we would like your company.
Hurry back, hurry back.
Time travelers, place all loose items in the pouch in front of you. Fasten your seatbelt and remain seated with your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the Time Rover. And please watch children. Time travel commencing in T-minus 10 seconds and counting.
This is Seeker. Listen up. We've got to get in, grab the Iguanodon, and get out before that asteroid hits. Let's roll! Now, let's go get that dino. Computer, what are you tracking?
Styracosaurus.
Not our dino.
Warning, meteor shower in range.
Just little one.
Oleoramus. Hadrosaur. Raptor.
Time to get serious. Locking autopilot on homing signal now! Tracking a big dino on the scope. Could be ours. Computer, full stop. Identify.
Carnotaurus.
Definitely not our dino. Go, go, go! Another big guy coming up. Computer, slow and identify.
Sauropod.
Still not our dino, but at least this one's a vegetarian. Whoops!
asteroid impact in 90 seconds.
We better move it.
Pterodactyl.
Incoming!
Asteroid impact in 60 seconds.
We can't stop now. Keep going, keep going.
Compsognathus.
Computer, what's happening?
Loss of traction.
Four-wheel drive, move it!
Warning, meteor strut.
Evasive maneuver! Right, left!
That was close.
Computer, now what?
Carnotaurus.
That's it! Abort mission! Abort! Abort!
Iguanodon.
Forget it! Get them out now!
Asteroid impact.
Break yourself! They're not gonna make it! They're not gonna make it!
Mission accomplished.
You made it! I knew you would, and guess who made it back with you? I better find it before security does. Thanks for everything!
Please gather personal belongings from the pouch in front of you and remain seated until the rover comes to a complete stop.